This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Almost time for us to wrap up for the day, but as per usual, we have a final story to get to in just a couple of minutes. We've been asking your feedback about, in 10 years from now, how do you see the data you share today improving your life? A little bit quiet out there. Maybe some of you guys are a little bit reticent about sharing some of your data, including your feedback. But if you want to get in touch, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Instagram. It is at BFM Radio, as it is on Twitter. We've had a message during the break. It is this.
Benji, from he sent in a WhatsApp message saying, everything in reality is a double-edged sword. Convenience comes at a price of economic viability. Example, Waze and Google Maps is a free service, but they're owned by Google, and Google will then monetize it via sales ad and etc. etc.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole network.
That's what we've been saying, right?
Yeah.
You know what we've been saying? Benji, are you listening, mate?
But also, it's useful.
Are you sleeping like the lions sleep
tonight? Oh, you wanted a segue.
You see what I did? That's why I needed that. Because Jeff's been making terrible jokes in the office all week.
You needed to set it up.
I needed to set it up, yeah. Okay. Sorry, Benji, you're my easy target. Anyway.
Okay, so a bit of context. The Walt Disney Company, it owns 35% of the domestic movie market in the US. 35% is twice of what it owned a decade ago. Just 10 years ago, it owned less than 15% of the market because of its new acquisition of Fox and all the other things that it's doing and the number of movies that it releases in a year. Now it has 35%.
They gobbled everything up.
Everything up. So four of 2019's five top grossing movies are owned by Disney. So it's Avengers Endgame, Toy Story, Aladdin, Captain Marvel. And then the fifth one, which is Spider-Man Far From Home, is partially owned by Disney as well. It lives in Disney's universe, but it's owned by a different studio, which is Sony. And then you have Frozen 2, you have Maleficent 2, you have Star Wars Rise of Skywalker still to come, and that those movies haven't even come out yet.
Hang on.
Yes.
Maleficent 2.
Maleficent yeah. 2. Something evil.
Have they just... I'm just a fan of Disney, right?
It's
have they just run out of ideas? I mean, it's 2019. We've got Aladdin, we've got Toy Story, we've got The Lion King.
If each of their movie makes close to $1 billion...
I understand.
I don't think they need new ideas. Mm. They just keep coming out with these same movies again and again. Mistress of Evil. Maleficent, Mistress of Evil. Yeah. And then, of course, you have Disney Plus coming up. And they have shows with budgets that make Game of Thrones look like small-time TV shows. So that's... So that's going to completely change the way we watch TV. But the thing is, Disney's biggest achievement this year isn't Endgame or how much money it's making. It's actually their leap in photorealistic CGI in The Lion King, which just opened yesterday, which people are calling the biggest technological leap in movie making since Avatar. So since that movie, which was 2009, so 10 years ago, this is the movie that will sort of change the way we use CGI, the way we use photorealism in movies and stuff, because...
And actors.
There are no actors.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. They're only voice actors.
Mm.
There is no motion capture. There's no performance capture. There are no landscapes in this movie that looks like a documentary.
There's no motion capture at all.
There's no motion capture. So our producer Christine was even telling us that Jon Favreau, the director, he even put one live action scene or one live action frame in the movie just to see if people could spot it, just to see if it would like seamlessly flow with the rest of the show.
Just cheeky.
And no one, I don't think anybody did. I couldn't spot any live action stuff because I thought everything was live action. You can't tell the difference. I didn't know what was real, what was not, which animals were actually there. And then I read this the article today, and it says that nothing was there. He used a pair of like VR goggles on a soundstage, and that's how he directed the movie. So he would move around with the cameras like panning and stuff, and there are no actual cameras. So that's another thing. There are camera angles without actual cameras.
Can you call him a director then?
You can. So he made an animated show. It's basically the same way you watch Toy Story or anything from Pixar or any Disney, an animated movie. It's the same thing, only it looks like you're watching a Disney nature documentary until they start talking.
Like David Attenborough.
Yeah. Yeah, until their mouths start moving, and then you know that it's a fantasy film.
But even then, when their mouths do move, like these animals, like Simba, you know, when they do start talking, it doesn't hit you. That's actually
you believe they can talk.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like so.
That's
in the
powerful.
In the 80s, they used to do the thing where like animals used to talk,
and
you could tell because it used to be like a static shot, and then the mouths would move. It would be slightly off, and you know it's like it's special effects.
And back
like
then, you don't have cinemas with big screens and IMAX. Mm. graphics and stuff, right? You would be you would forgive for its you know, minor mishaps in pixels and stuff. Now though, you know, one mishap, like Avengers had a scene that, you know, I was just like, whoa, what did Avengers do here? Because that looked so fake.
Yeah, and, when the helmets come on. Yeah, the attacking shot is a bit like
off. It was just, wait a minute, Marvel.
Yeah, so even in Avengers, do you know the suits that they put on, the time travel suits that they put on, those are CGI.
Yeah.
The suits were never there. So those are completely CGI and they look like fabric and cloth and stuff. So, but anyway, the remake is like a shot-by-shot remake of the 94 animated feature. And people were asking, like, why? You know, why would you make something so-called live-action but make it like a shot-for-shot remake? Like, what is the point? And the point is, it's a showcase for Disney. They're flexing. They're basically going like, look, this is the new technology we have. We need to put it on a platform so that the platform makes money. And when the platform makes money, you will either buy the tech from us or we can use it for our other movies. And the best part is to build their branding, because if they can build worlds and people and animals without having them actually there, then nothing can shake the brand, because you can lose actors can leave, you don't have to train animals anymore, and you don't have to shoot on location.
They're going to make contracts like the Face app did, you know? Your likeness is signed to us for perpetuity. Everything. We own
everything,
you know. Yes. So it won't matter.
So basically what Disney has done with The Lion King is stand on top of Hollywood Hill in front of the Hollywood signboard, Los Angeles Hill in front of the Hollywood signboard, and showcase their technology and just go,
everything you see will one day be yours.
Yeah, everything like, the light touches will one day be yours.
Everyone in Hollywood just go like, all right, okay.
You know, gushing review of technology aside.
For technology side,
is it worth going to see the movie?
Of course.
Yeah.
No, I love the movie. It's an amazing movie. It's like watching the old movie with like real lions that are not actually real.
Look, whether or not this new Lion King is a good movie, you know, whether the technology in it is better, you know, it's the best since, you know, Avatar and all that aside, it is something that resonates with everyone, no matter the age, because we all saw the cartoon and we all cried. So let's just do that again over the weekend.
So if you want to laugh and cry again, this weekend, No, it's worth a watch. Like, the ticket is worth the special effects and the photorealism itself. It's definitely worth a watch.
Excellent. Okay, ladies and gents, we've come to the end of the show. If you've missed anything, don't forget you can download the podcast. It's available via our app, which is available in the Apple App Store, Google Play. We're on Spotify. We have a website, you know, bfm.my. Check it out there. So we started off with that story about how, what does big tech know about you? Essentially, they know basically everything. Our question was, 10 years from now, how do you see the data you share today improving your life? We had an expert jump in. It was Sabendu Mukherjee, the founder and director from the 10th Floor, a digital data strategy consulting service from Singapore. Want to thank him very much for his input. We then had a story about...
Yeah, so we talked about Face App's viral success proved that we will never take our digital privacy seriously.
Then we spoke about how Disney's lions are the new kings of photorealism and the box office.
That's all the time we have for today, though. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, is the Breakfast Grill replay with Harris Arshad. He's the managing director of Sime Darby Oils, and Heng Kia Chun, a campaigner from Greenpeace Malaysia. They talk about how divisive global issue, of course, palm oil, with Malaysia in the front line by virtue of being one of the largest producers in the world. Both sides of the debate coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.